Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? Ah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? We had a fantastic week over here on this due time. Just one more again. We started off shaking the Monday morning blues with our due time crew, and we talked about the reasons why you should never date a coworker. Oh my goodness, boy, was this some kind of trip down memory lane for our due time crew, as they all had seemed to have some experience in this thing here. Well, I ran these things by them and asked them, hey, are these things true? Well, we talked about co-workers keeping tabs on you. Yeah, when you're dating that, you know, that person at the job, you know, they say that they keep tabs on you. Is it true? And they said yes, unanimously. Oh, what about you have to see them every day? Yep, they said yes to that too. Let's see another one that they talked about. You know, they said that they agreed that even your lunch becomes all twisted and out of kilter. And, you know, that just didn't cross my mind. They want to know, did you pick them up some McDonald's too? You know I like a Big Mac, and it's 2 for $6, and you didn't give me one? Oh, shucks now. That might have to... You know, we may have to talk about some things. And the vacation. Yeah, those days for going on vacation together. I don't know about that. Especially if you dating a supervisor like one of our due time crew panel members. Yeah, you know, she might or he might be going on vacation without you. Because, you know, they get like 2-3 weeks. You may only have 4 days. And what you gonna do then? Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Was it a conversation to be had? And it was a funny one. It was a funny one. Well, we topped off our Monday morning with the switch tip by Shantice. And we're talking about be gentle. Yes, that was our switch tip for the week. Be gentle. And again, did it not fall in line with what we were talking about? Yeah, you know, when you're working on the job and, well, you're not working on the job. When you're on the job and you're dating people, oh, gentle is going to have to be the word. Yes. Because, you know, you can't be busting up in there with no argument that you carried on from the night before or the day before. You're going to have to hold that. And one of the things that, you know, we talked about was, you know, seeing the person every day. Well, that ain't going to be easy when you're mad at them. Yes. And, you, and what happens when you really, really, really have to work directly with them? And you got to smile. You got to go into meetings and be gentle. Yeah. It's about that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to really exemplify that godly component. And, you know, it's funny because all week long, my gentle gangster been tested. Yes. I normally hear about that one from Shantice. Yes, but I have to say it like that. Yeah, it's been tested. I was supposed to go off a few times, and I had to remember, be gentle. So, you know, these switch tips are coming in handy, right? Because, you know, it's a challenge. Remember, the slogan is, oh, my goodness, you know, switching from the worldly seat or the worldly ways or something like that to your godly seat. I've only been listening to this thing a year and a half, and I haven't missed a switch tip week. And, oh, man, yeah, but, you know, switching from the worldly, you know, way of doing things and doing things the godly way. So it's a challenge. Every week, you know, we get a challenge, and we get examples from her and, you know, her own experiences. And, again, you know, it always parallels with what we were just talking about in the relationship department. So, yo, you got to get this together. You got to get this together. Okay, so Tuesday. We had our special edition of Church Folk Day, and we talked with our ladies about being a small-minded Christian. And, oh, they did fantastic. Talking about being a small-minded Christian, you are a new creation. Yes. You can't be a Christian and you the same old person. No. You know, the new things are here and the old things are passed away. Yes. And what about that wisdom? That wisdom you get when you accept Jesus and you walk in that thing. Man, you'll be floating around knowing stuff and knowing what to do with it. Because it's one thing to be smart, but it's another thing to be smart and dumb at the same time. Yes, you can be smart and dumb at the same time. Come on. Don't act like you don't know. Yes, you can be smart and dumb at the same time. So come on, use that godly wisdom that God has given you, because you can. You can, and we're challenged each day to get up and do so, okay? So the ladies definitely gave us a new way of thinking, and wow, Wednesday was wow. We talked about being able to go up into space in a hot air balloon. Yes, that's what Vivian talked about this week in Socially Conscious. You know, and I think she said it's like $120,000 to be able to do so. And would you be able to do it? Well, we have to come back and get that poll from Shantice. So, Shantice, get those numbers ready, because we need to find out how many people said the chicken was being overcharged, and I want my dollar. Yes, that's the other thing Vivian brought to us. She said that, you know, now they are tapping Purdue, Tyson, and a lot of other chicken people and businesses for overcharging us. They said if you bought chicken in the last decade. Now, who on this side of the fence has not made chicken a staple in their house, as expensive as chicken has become? Well, there's There's some money they're giving out, up to $99 million. And Elden Aitisha, Lady Tamika, they just started filling out their form. I hope you started filling out your form, because they're giving out a couple of cents. Yes, because I'm really wondering if your check is going to be more than 1 cent when all these people fill out that they want their money back, or they want a piece of this pie. Well, that's what the poll was. Do you fill out the form? Will you fill out the form and ask for your money, which you have every right to? Or are you saying, you know what, I'm going to let you have my couple of cents because I ain't bothering? Because 99 million people have bought chicken over the last decade. So if everybody went in, that's only a dollar. Yeah. So what you going to do? What you going to do? You going after that dollar? Well, we're going to get those poll results in a little bit, and we're going to see what the people said. Yes, they either said, well, you know what, I want it, or you can have my couple cents. Okay? So, we spoke with our women of worship, and they continued the conversation on Christian responsibility. Yeah. Should we be attending church? Is that one of our responsibilities as a Christian? Absolutely. And the ladies laid it down nice and clearly. You ain't have no questions afterwards. Yes. Well, that's just one thing they talked about. Okay. We had our techie talk with Dwayne, and we closed down our Wednesday, like all the other Wednesdays, with our Faith Over Fear segment with Pastor Charlotte. And it was good as always. Okay? Well. Yesterday, Therapeutic Thursday, we had back in the house our friend, Mr. Chris. And oh my goodness, we talked about single moms, renamed solo moms, solo parents, and how they cope with loneliness. Yes, we continued that conversation. And would I tell you that it was a very good presentation, and it was wrapped up with some points on what we ultimately need to do. We need to build relationships, become better meditation masters. Oh, I really like that one. Oh, find a sense of belonging, because you already belong to the family of God. So, find a way to fit in. Oh, and he gave us some wonderful, wonderful tools with partnering up with other like-minded individuals in order to be able to move forward. Yes. Yes. So you have, this has been some kind of week. It really has. And you really need to take the time to go back and listen, okay? Yes, go back and listen. You know that's our tagline here. You got to go back and listen. Well, today is Freestyle Friday. We get to do whatever we want to do. Well, what do we do on Fridays? We give the mic to the men. And we have some stuff that we're going to talk about today. I'm looking forward to it. You know, they always send us on our way into the weekend. And, yeah, it's weekend time. Can you believe it? I just gave you the recap for the whole week. We're at Friday already. And how grateful should we be when it comes to realizing that God has been so gracious to us. He's brought us safely through another week. We have been unharmed despite the crazy news that we have been, you know, talking about all week. We have been spared all week long, and God has done it one more time. that we are getting ready to usher in another Sabbath day, and we have no visits to the hospital. We have no tragedies that have happened, and God has really, really been very, very good to us. So, what do you do? We celebrate. We celebrate Jesus. Okay? So, we are getting ready to take that break. And our news is definitely going to be a piece of, or the launching pad into our, what do you call that thing? Our conversation with the men today. And we're going to be talking about some behaviors of our, you know, men and maybe women, but I think primarily men, and just how we're going to move forward in life. So make sure you get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell a friend, you text and tell a friend, hey, it's due time with Pastor Stephanie, and it's Friday, and the men will be talking, and we can't wait to hear what they have to say. Yes, yes, yes. You know, make sure you get that pomegranate juice, those sardines. How many cans of sardines have you eaten already? You know, you got to eat two cans in order to make sure that diabetes comes down, or it's preventive. Yes, it helps to keep you from getting diabetes if you're pre-diabetic, they say. Well, if it is my thing, whether it works or not, hello, but if it's a thing, just eat it. It ain't gonna kill you. All right? All right. So let's make sure we do what we need to do, and we stay safe, because we'll be right back.
I thought I was all sung. Turns out they're green.
It feels good to focus on others.
My tax preparation skills are appreciated, and I don't have to wear a tie.
Nothing beats a great hand except lending one. Be a wise volunteer. Support seniors in maintaining balanced lives. Visit wiseandhealthyaging.org or call 310-394-9871.
Together, and make sure that all of our lines are clear so you can hear me. We can't deal with no crackling. I thank you, all of my due time listeners, for just jumping in and, you know, letting me know that the line wasn't clear. Thank you so much. I heard you. Thank you so much. Well, you're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it's Freestyle Friday. Yes, it's Freestyle Friday. Oh, God has brought us safely through another week. Okay, so I'm ready for a weekend. I don't know about the rest of you, but I am so ready for a weekend. Wow. I can't get the weekend started if I don't get my news, right? All right. Well, today's news is going to be a little different. A little different. This will definitely be a launching pad into our conversation with the men. And I want to start off with talking about, where is my story? Okay, here we go. Well, let's talk about Jussie Smollett. Everybody knows Jussie Smollett. Yeah, he's part of that huge family. Everybody's got J names, and they had a little show back in the early 90s, and he ended up being a nice addition to the Empire family as Jamal. Yeah. Well, you remember a few years ago, he got into a big mess because he claimed that he had been approached by, you know, two members of the opposite side of the fence. And, you know, he made some allegations. And it came out that those allegations were false. And that's a crime because it's like a fake hate crime. And, you know, hate crime is, you know, a big thing. And they're like, hey, you know, you can't tell stories like that. And you got people out here looking for, you know, those who have not committed a crime. And you, it's a crime to lie and say people did this to you. And it was a big thing. It was really a big thing. Unfortunately, he was let go of, you know, his Empire gig. Yeah, I mean, that was pretty dumb, you know, if that was something that he did. You know, they were saying he did it for attention, you know, to, you know, I guess get more people to pay attention to who he was. And, you know, aren't you glad that you're walking that Christian walk? Because we don't have to live like that, you know, do things, because this happens all the time. Well, they went after him big time. Yeah, they were not, they really was not taking this lightly. And I'm reading that he had 16 charges. Yes, 16 charges of felony misconduct. And they say for staging this racist, homophobic attack hoax. So, subsequently, these charges were supposed to be dropped. And, you know, the judge just at the end of the day let him off the hook. And he ended up getting community service. So, in other words, what they're saying is he pled to a lesser crime. And that's what they do sometimes. We know they do this all the time. You know, you did it, but they're going to call it something else so you don't serve as much time. Well, that's what they say happened here. Not that he didn't do it, but that they are charging him with a lesser crime, and in exchange, he only got community service, opposed to doing any time. And he had an interview with NBC News, and his statement was this. Let me read it so I can, you know, give it to you verbatim. He says, I am a man of faith, and I am a man that has knowledge of my history, and I would not bring my family, our lives, or the movement through a fire like this. Now, again, supposedly, he was found guilty, but they dropped the charges to a lesser charge so that he would only do community service. So are you catching this here? He's guilty at the end of the day. He's guilty. That's what they're saying. He's guilty. They actually found him guilty on that. And for whatever the reason is, they had this exchange take place. So, in his statement, he's denying that he did this. But here's the thing that I want to make sure that you caught. He says, I am a man of faith. So we had an article written from a Christian magazine or, you know, media that he's hot. The journalist is hot because he's like, yo, and I'm just going to put it on my side of the fence terminology. Yo, you're a man of faith. You're still guilty. You're still guilty. Whether you acknowledging this here in this interview or not, or that interview, because he wasn't actually the one. He was referring to the interview that Jussie Smollett had. He's like, yo, you did this thing. You did the thing. So are you really a man of faith? Because believers don't do this. And he says exactly, he's like, listen, for the believer, there is no loophole. There is no divergent strand in the perfect thread of holiness. We are responsible for all our decisions, good and bad, and their outcomes, good and bad. So in other words, don't get up on this platform now talking about you a man of faith after you went and was charged with 16 charges of felony misconduct for staging the racist, homophobic attack hoax. Man, he came down hard on Jussie Smollett. Came down hard. So, you know, listen, I want all of you who are listening, I need you to weigh in today. I need you to weigh in as to what you think. So, Shantice, you might be taking some notes and gathering up all of this stuff for us, because this is what I'm going to talk to our men about today. And, you know, these particular stories. And, you know, I want to call this a question of faith. Are you really a man of faith if you pulled this hoax? Now, you know, when you go to, when we do the court thing, they pull up, like, everything. So, in other words, if you robbed a bank, the charge is not going to be he robbed the bank or she robbed the bank. It's going to be, you know, you possession of a deadly weapon. You're going to get another charge of pointing the weapon or brandishing a weapon in front of a minor. You're going to get with you know, it was Tuesday and you brandished a shotgun and it was only handgun. They pull out everything they can underneath the overall offense. Okay, so he racked up 16 charges. And so if he was guilty of all of those things, can he be considered a man of faith? Because that's what the journalist is questioning. Ain't no loophole. You can't go and say this thing happened and because you needed attention, and then you're going to fall back on the fact that you're a man of faith. It can't be both. Okay? So with Jussie Smollett, can it be both? Yes or no? That's the way we're going to answer this, to make it nice and clean so Shantice ain't got to be worried about a whole bunch of stuff. Can it be both for Jussie Smollett? Can he, you know, play this prank, you know, walk through this hoax as a man of faith or still be considered a man of faith? Okay? All righty. Well, I have another story, and it's about a man in Colorado who murdered his pregnant wife and daughters. Yes. Okay. So, Christopher Watts was charged with strangling his wife and smothering his two daughters, and he was sentenced to life without parole. Well, while he's in jail, he says, "I never knew I could have a relationship with God like I do now. It's like the amazing grace with all of this, but I just wish nobody had to pay any kind of price for this." There came a time when he realized he needed Jesus, and he made a life-changing decision. And here's what he says. He says, "There was this one church service, the only one I've gone to in here," which, you know, the inside the prison, "and the pastor said, 'You're not defined by one moment in your life.' And I think people are defining me by one moment in my life. They don't know what happened before and what can happen later." Well, what in the world are we talking about here? Now, it's one thing to find Jesus, and there's some things in our bucket that Jesus has got to wipe away clean and throw in the sea of forgetfulness. But do we have a right to say, "I think people are defining me by one moment in my life. They don't know what happened before and what can happen later"? See, is there something about that statement that doesn't say humility to me? No, maybe it says something different to you. But now let's go back. There was this one church service. This is this Colorado man, Mr. Christopher Watts, who says that in the service, the pastor said, "You're not defined by one moment in your life." Well, we know that. When it comes to God and it comes to Jesus, we know that. We know you're not defined by one moment in your life. We get this. However, they don't know what happened before and what can happen later. What that got to do with anything? You still going to sit up in jail for the rest of your life. So get ready to start ministering to everybody about what Jesus can do for you, even after you strangle your wife and smother your two daughters. Oh, this is a nice time to find Jesus. You know, listen, don't misunderstand me now. Remember, no sin is greater than the next. You know, we put a measure, at least I didn't rob the bank, at least I ain't kill nobody. That's what we do. That's what we say. But I don't know. I got something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that statement. So come on, 347-285-7777. Let me know if it's just me. Because listen, I'm a pastor. That's what we tell people. So when the pastor told the congregation over in the prison that, you know, "You're not defined by one moment in your life," he was speaking to a bunch of people who had been sentenced to jail time for something they had done. So therefore, life doesn't stop here. God and Jesus don't look at you for this particular offense. Because technically speaking, all the other offenses is just as bad as this one to them. Now, you may not go to jail for life for committing adultery or stealing a candy bar, but Jesus and God, they look at everything evenly, and they either accept and forgive you or they don't. And we know that there's only one transgression that God will, you know, hold against you. But come on now. I don't know. Something about that statement that's got me on the fence here. I'm very happy if he's found Jesus, you know, because again, I'm a pastor. That's what I do. I have to point you and help you focus on the fact that, hey, you know, you can turn this around if you give your life to God. Listen, we talk about this each and every day for 2 hours. So help me. Help me. Help me. Is there something wrong with that statement? Does that sound like something he really, I don't know. You finish it up. All right. So that's story number two. Story number three. From a prostitute to a man of God. Woo! Caught you off guard with that one, right? Well, they say that Mr. McCall used to have the name of Scarlet and dressed as a woman and lived a lifestyle in that LGBT community, and he struggled with homosexuality and drugs until he was 23. He said he felt like he was a woman in a guy's body, and he began the life as Scarlet. Well, during this period, he drank a lot and he prostituted his body, but he also secretly watched sermons. And at one point, he surrendered his life to God after he heard the voice of God tell him, "You will live for me." And he says he struggled with same-sex attraction around 12, and at around 15, he actually acted on it. And he has really told a very candid story. And he said, you know, he was really out there from the age of 18 to 23. He lived in Nashville, and during those years, his whole identity was a homosexual. And he said he just partied and partied, and he was the life of the party, and he spent time shopping and partying, and whoever his boyfriend was at the time was just doing the same stuff as he was. He was addicted to drugs. He used to take Xanax, and he was smoking crystal meth. And he really was living his life in this manner. And, again, at one point, you know, he hit rock bottom, and he really got drunk one night, and he threatened to commit suicide. And he ended up spending a couple of days in the psychiatric ward of a hospital. And he just, while he was there, he, you know, was thinking about the fact that, you know, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm using drugs. I'm living as a homosexual. I'm prostituting my body with all these different guys. And, you know, the Lord started dealing with him, and he was listening to a pastor, and he went back in the recesses of his mind of this pastor that he had visited this church when he was in college two times. And he was watching this pastor now on YouTube, and he said as the pastor was speaking, he said God started dealing with him and convicted him of, you know, all the things that he was doing. And when he realized anything, he was crying and just calling out to God and hearing the voice of God and God telling him, you know, you're going to live for me. You're going to live for me. You're going to live for me. Very clearly. And he said that, you know, after a couple of months, he started to turn his life around. And he had gotten so deep that he was actually going to have the sex change operation. And he said, nope, the change that I made was when I gave my life to Christ. So here he is now, living a life where he is witnessing for Christ, and he has turned his life completely around. And you know, there are some people that have said, you know, once you live this homosexual life, you know, you can't, you know, you can't get started in a regular relationship. And he said that he started losing friends and family. Yep, he said he started losing friends and family. He said, but the interesting part was, as he started losing the friends and family, the Lord started to increase in his life. He was able to see God a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And that's what really got him to where he was. So, you know, you have some women that say, hey, you know, I couldn't get with a man. I couldn't marry a man that had once lived a homosexual life because, you know, to me, turning that around is a bit much. You have men who say, nah, once you like that, you always like that, and I ain't messing with you. I ain't messing with you like that. Yo, you know, I give you a pound, but that's about as far as it goes, and I may not even give you a pound. That fist bump, elbow, whatever it is. So this person has received forgiveness from God and is challenged by the world. How do you move forward in this world? I mean, even losing your friends and family. We're not even talking about how strangers will deal with you. We're talking about how you're being dealt with by your family and friends. These are people that are closest to you. And he says, you know, listen, all I know is I'm on a mission from God. God invited me to keep sharing Christ's love and show the world that anyone can change and have a relationship with him. Ooh. So what are we saying? What are we saying here? What are we saying here? Come on, I need to hear from you. Ashantis need to hear from you. You know, we're going to go through one more story, you know, and then we're going to talk to our men. And this one was really interesting as well. Well, I don't know how many of you have heard of Kodak Black. And he's a rapper. And he was pardoned by Trump before Trump left office. You know, they always do this pardoning thing. And he was one of them who was pardoned. And I'm trying to, I can't remember because I got so deep into the other stories, what he was pardoned for. But he was in jail, and they did give the story. But, okay, here we go. In 2019, he was sentenced to nearly 4 years in prison for making a false statement in order to buy a firearm. That's what it was. And they didn't go into no long detail. And he actually sued the prison system for allegedly suppressing his religion and being tortured by some of the prison guards. Well, it doesn't say whether he won the case or not, but I guess that's one of the reasons why he got pardoned, because, you know, you're talking about suing. Yeah, they're going to have him get you up out of there. And I'm not saying that's the only thing, but, you know, after I read that, I was like, okay, yeah. I see, because, yeah. So he was pardoned by Trump, and here's how his story goes. He says that, well, actually, he's not the one telling the story. It's a minister who's telling the story. And he said that he and a female minister stopped to buy gas at a gas station. And they came across the rapper, so they were familiar with him. And they got to talking, and right there on the spot, he gave his life to Christ. He gave his life to Christ as right as they were talking. He just put everything down, and he gave his life to Christ right there. He prayed, and what they say is part of the prayer was, I pray right now that you forgive me of all my sins, and I receive your forgiveness, and I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and he rose from the dead. And that was part of his prayer. And he says, I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart. Clean me up. Use me for your glory. I believe that if I was to die, that when I wake up, I will be in your arms. In Jesus' name, I am saved. Amen. And that was the prayer that took place on that day. And his life is supposedly being lived in God right now. Yeah. Right there on the spot. Right there on the spot. And this minister is celebrating because, you know, he actually, you know, watched this happen. You know, not many of us, you know, pastors have an opportunity to minister or to witness or to have an exchange with people who are like entertainers. You know, we talk to y'all all the time, but, you know, we don't have many opportunities to witness to entertainers. And not that their life is better, but their life is different. Their life is really different. You know, they have different drawers. They have money. They, you know, so they tend to be around the wrong, you know, crowds and get sucked in and things like that. So they do have a different life. And, you know, this is why he's celebrating, because, you know, he deems this monumental for this person to, you know, have all of these opportunities to stay in the world, but yet he's coming on to the other side just from that conversation. So my thought was, well, God's been dealing with him all this time. You just don't wake up and decide to give your life to Christ. This is something, you know, God says that he's dealing with you on the inside on a daily basis. And you get to the point where you just give it all to God and say, you know what, I can't take it no more. I don't want to do this no more. I don't want to live this life anymore. Well, you know, he's been known for being a philanthropist. Yeah, I hope I'm saying that. You know what I'm trying to say. He's really very generous with his money. That's just been his history. You know, just, he's very charitable. And, you know, so God has already dealt with his heart. He's not selfish. And, all you know, God just had to deal with the other piece. So, you know, I say that God's been working all along. You know, I'm not taking anything away from the on-the-spot delivery. I'm not. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, don't think that God is not working on you. When he has called you, when he has chosen you, everything you do, God is really, really, you know, kind of gauging and keeping you from, you know, things happening, because he's using you for his service. He's planning to use you to draw other people. He's planning on using you. And, you know, so what's your thought on that? Do you think, you know, hey, God's been working on you all along. Maybe you don't even realize it. And that's what helped, that when, you know, that conversation took place with the ministers, he was able to put both feet in at that point and say, you know what, I'm just renouncing everything. I'm giving it up. I'm going the Lord's way. And there's a verse or a series of verses that say that. So I'm going to leave that to the men. But those are our stories this morning. We got Jussie Smollett who says, I'm a man of faith, but was accused and charged, actually, of, you know, making this false claim. We have the Colorado man who lived his life as a prostitute and, you know, turned his life around, but now the world is not receiving him. Man is not receiving him the way God is receiving him. We have, no, that wasn't the Colorado man. The Colorado man was the man who strangled the wife and smothered the girls and says, hey, you know, I shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't be judging me or thinking about me, you know, because you don't know what happened before and you don't know what happened after. And then we have Kodak Black, who on the spot at the gas station upon meeting two ministers says, hey, I'm giving God my life. So let me say good morning to my gentlemen. Let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. You doing well today?
I'm doing well today as well.
Good, very good, very good. Oh, we talking about some things. So here's what I want to do. I want to toggle between the two of you. So we're just going to hit each story and then we'll just go back and forth opposed to running all the four stories together. Okay? How's that? Is that good?
Yes, ma'am. That's great. That's
right. All right. So we're talking about Jussie Smollett this morning. You know who Jussie Smollett is, right?
I really don't. But I know
oh
who he is
goodness.
Now.
Okay. Well, when you get some time, just look up Jussie Smollett and just see what he looks like. And we're talking about the fact that, you know, he at one point at the height of his career, he made allegation that, you know, he was approached by two men who were, you know, this homophobic approach, and he made some serious allegations, and they really took this thing to heart. They charged him 16 charges against him, and like I said, you know, he was found guilty, but they lessened the charge, and he only had to subsequently do community service. And his interview with NBC News, you know, he says, I'm a man of faith. And there's a journalist who writes for one of the Christian publications who says, hey, I'm raising a flag. I don't care how much of a man of faith you say you are. Yo, it's no loopholes. If you're a man of faith, you just don't do stuff like that. And
right.
I don't know if you're really a man of faith. What do you think, Pastor KL?
Well, yeah, I mean, first of all, you know, we can't question whether someone's saved or not saved, but your actions will kind of influence us into thinking a certain way. You know, you can't do what you do, you know what I mean, and then say, I'm a man of faith. You can't kill somebody or rob the bank and say, okay, I'm a man of faith. You know, if God be before me, who can be against me? You know, you just can't do stuff like that. You know, we throw the God card and the Jesus card in it, you know, a lot of times when our back is up against the wall. And we started this thing as children, you know, when we get bad report cards. I'm a man of faith, Lord. Just get me out of this one. I believe I'm going to get out of this beating. You know, we throw the God card up. You know, we throw the God card up when it benefits us or when our back is up against the wall and we know we can't help ourselves. Now we want God to help us.
Wow. Wow. All right. Wow. Nice start. Nice start. Nice food for thought. Let's say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Chop, chop of the morning. Chop, chickity chop of the morning. Oh, yeah. How you doing? Good morning. Good morning, my brother, Pastor KL and Pastor Steph. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. I just want you to know for the record, You do not say good morning to Pastor KL before you say good morning to me.
That wasn't in my contract, though, but I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I just want you to know, I hope you don't consider yourself a man of faith when you made that error.
You was okay, Brother Al. You was okay.
Before I get in trouble, let me change it around. Good morning, Pastor Steph, and then good morning, Pastor Cale. How's that?
Good morning, brother. Oh, goodness gracious. Brother Al,
easily influenced.
You know what? I'm not a bully. I don't care what you say. Brother Al, you heard the story of Jussie Smollett, and he takes the stand that I'm a man of faith, and it's being questioned. You know, hey, would a man of faith do these things? You know, that was a huge allegation to make, and a very calculated allegation. And I think that's what the biggest issue is. It's not like, you know, some of us walk and we just stumble on something. You know, we do something and, you know. But he's saying, you know, this is calculated. How does a man of faith do something that's calculated like this? Well, what's your thought, Brother Al?
It's just like Pastor Kale said, you know, we use the God card when it's convenient for us. Now, if he was such a man of faith, he'd have had faith that, okay, you know, my career is still going well. First of all, be blessed that you got this career going. But you would say, okay, my career is going well. I don't have to do this to get attention. Because that's what it was all about, for him to get attention. And so his ratings or whatever can go up higher. So if you was a man of faith, you would have never stepped out to do that from the beginning. You'd have faith in yourself, faith in God that, okay, God blessed me with this career, and he's going to continue to bless me. So let me just keep going forward and doing the right thing. That's faith. You're using faith now because they let you off easy. They let you off easy. They was like, okay, you know what? You 16 account that you got. And they said, okay, you know what? We'll make it a lesser charge and you just do community service. You could have done jail time. So, I feel that. Like, come on.
Okay. You know, again, I think that's the biggest challenge, gentlemen, is the fact that, you know, again, you know, it's not like, you know, God charged me with having lust in my eyes when that woman walked down the street. You know, this is something that because here's the thing. He supposedly hired two men to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the men came back and said, he hired us. So if you hire somebody, you actually take the time to go hire somebody. That means you did some research, you asked some questions, you put some money out your pocket, you made this exchange with you know, money or whatever you were bartering or, you know. So, yes, this was a plan. This was a plan.
It premeditated. You know? Premeditated.
Right. So that's why this journalist is really questioning. And I want to know if we got any feedback from the listeners. But I'm going to come back to that and see if we have any feedback. Shanti, just hit me up and let me know how we're doing with the feedback from our listeners, you know, whether, you know, they feel like this is a man of faith. You know, he just made a misstep. You know, he just, you know, got caught up for a minute. You know, that doesn't question whether you're a man of faith or not. You know, like Pastor KL said, you know, hey, we can't say whether, you know, you were dipped in the water. We can't say whether you're a saved individual or not. But can we say you are a man of faith, or can God say? Because, again, this self-assessment going to send a whole lot of us to hell thinking we all right, and we really ain't. So, you know, we're gonna leave that one there and see if we get some feedback. All right, we got the man who was living as a prostitute. He was living as Scarlet, and you know, he was doing the drug thing, and you know, he was about to get the sex change, and you know, just he ended up at the point of committing suicide or attempting rather to commit suicide, and he was in a mental the mental ward of a hospital, and he started reflecting on a pastor he had heard when he visited this church twice while he was in college, and he started watching this pastor on YouTube, and as he was watching, he said the Lord began to speak to him and say to him, you will live for me. All the stuff you did, and I'm going to turn all of that around. Or all the stuff you're doing, because he was actually in the middle of living that, you know, life, or at the point of living this lifestyle. He says, but you will live for me. And he subsequently gave his life to the Lord. And he lost his family, he lost his friends, and the world is having a hard time making this adjustment. You know, you have the women that say, I'm not dealing with no man who was once on that side of the fence. No, that's all right. I'm just going to have to find, you know, some other man out here. And you have some men who say, you know what, once that, always that. You ain't going to change. You're not going to change. It doesn't work like that. You can't shut that on and shut it off. Pastor KL, what do you say?
Well, the first thing I say is that he was dealing with a demon. You know, I mean, when you have this drug stuff and you have alcohol stuff and even you know, homosexuality, that's a demon he was dealing with. And God was trying to get his attention. However, because he was so caught up in what he was caught up in, he never stopped to listen to God. Sometimes you have to hit rock bottom, you know, when you find yourself all by yourself in order to hear from God. So he was placed in a place where God said, okay, I got you now, because you can't go nowhere. You have to sit still. You have to be quiet. And now, you know, we're watching YouTube. That wasn't just haphazard that it came back to your remembrance. You know, God will bring stuff back to your remembrance to trigger you, to get your attention. So now that I got you here, let's talk about this. Let's talk about what you're doing. Let's talk about how it's destroying you. Now, for the folks who are saying that once this, always that, then listen, once a liar, always a liar, if we go on that premise. You know, once a thief, always a thief. You know, how is it that, what is the point of repenting if we can't change? If we can't turn our life around, you know, why does God give us new mercies each day? You know, what is the purpose of all that? What is the purpose of the renewing of your mind if our mind is still going to stay focused on what we've done before? So I think he can change. You know, I think that there is a change, but God has to get you in a place where it's just you and God and there's no one else speaking to you. Sometimes when other folks are speaking to you, you don't know whether it's God or whether it's your homeboy from down the block. You know, and God's been trying to get this young man's attention for a while. He had to put him in a place where he couldn't move. And all he can do is depend on him.
Wow. Brother Al, you know, what say you? Oh, yeah. You know, they say, hey, the women say, uh-uh. And some of the men say, uh-uh. You know, what do you say?
You know,
what do you say, Brother Al?
I would say, you know, first of all, people should look and it should be a praise and a Holy Ghost time going on right now, just to show you that God can use and change anybody. You know, what they're doing is judging. You're not supposed to judge. You know, what if God said, okay, you know what? It took you 40 years to come to me. You know what? I ain't trying to see you right now. You know what I'm saying? So again, people are out there judging instead of praising, you know, and God can change anybody. People forgetting that God can do anything, you know. It's just like when I'm listening to the story, and I'm like, wow, and I'm listening back to how I was when I was, you know, in college and running with all these girls and doing all this nonsense, you know. And you know, God had to sit me down, like, what are you doing? And, you know, and you still have people look at, you know, will look at you like that. Oh, man, Al, you still got all them girls, man? Nah, man, I ain't doing that no more. Are you crazy? I bet you still are. And you have to be strong enough. You have to ask God for that strength and say, you know what? I'm just going to keep following the Lord.
and let God clear that pathway for me, because that's what's going to happen. God's going to just clear that pathway. It's like you coming outside and you got a whole bunch of snow you got to shovel. God just clear that pathway. You just got to keep having that faith and walking straight. You know, people who saying, like the men who saying, oh, no, he once you do that, that's not true. That's not true. Guess you're saying once a drug addict is always a drug addict. You know, just like Pastor Kale said, we might as well put that down the whole line there. But God can change you, and it's living proof right there. And I'm happy for the young man. I'm like, I'm listening to the story, and I'm like, wow, that is deep. That just shows God can do anything with anybody.
Amen, gentlemen. Amen, amen. We're on to a good journey into our weekend. And I hope that you are all taking notes. You're all paying attention, because God is speaking to us right now through these stories. There's a lot coming through these stories. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back to our conversation with the men of Warfield. And I can't wait to see what they have to say about our other stories. Oh, hold on. We'll be right back.
Have you or a loved one been experiencing intense itching on your head and your hair or on your skin? You may be experiencing pediculosis or scabies.
Pediculosis is where ectoparasites, aka lice, infest in your hair or your body hair. Scabies is where microscopic mites bury eggs under your skin and spread. These infections can infect anyone, but specifically anyone in close proximity, such as children in school or elderly in nursing homes. These infections can easily be treated with permethrin shampoos or creams and will clear up in 2 to 3 weeks. Be sure not to share hairbrushes, clothing, or come in contact with anyone infected. Stay safe out there.
The morning without some dew. Spend yours with Pastor Steph.
Welcome back to A Due Time with Pastor Steph. It is Freestyle Friday, and we have the men on the line today. Yes, they have their say. And today we're talking about men who have lived a life at one point, a very sinful one, and the transition that can take place. We've talked about Jussie Smollett. We've talked about a young man who lived his life as a prostitute. And, you know, can he change? Can God change him? And our men have laid it on the line as to, you know, whether God can really make that change or not. Okay? And I so thank you for joining us today. And I'm looking forward to you hanging out with us for the rest of the show. All right. So let's say good morning again to our gentlemen. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Top of the morning.
All righty. So let's talk about the next individual. Okay, we're talking about this Colorado man, Mr. Christopher Watts, who has been charged and sentenced to life without parole for strangling his wife and smothering his two daughters. Well, since he's been serving his prison sentence, he's been attending church, and he actually allowed God. You know, he says He's allowed God to permeate his life and his heart and his mind. And, you know, he's repentant, so he says. And I say so he says because I'm going to give you the statement that was made. And, you know, he said he was, you know, listening to the pastor during one church service. And the pastor said that you're not defined by one moment in your life. He says, and I think people are defining me by one moment in my life. They don't know what happened before and what can happen later. And I'm saying to myself, well, wait a minute. What are you ultimately saying here? That don't sound like something a humble person would say. But that's just Stephanie. You know, everything is up, you know, for interpretation based on who's reading it and, you know, what you've heard and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know. Brother Al, let's start with you. You know, does it sound like he's a man? You know, he says, listen, I've given my life to the Lord. God has changed my life. You know, I never thought that I would get to know Jesus the way I do. You know, I have a relationship with God now. And I'm a changed man. The amazing grace has changed me. What's your thought based on what he subsequently said?
Well, my thought is that he still needs some work because he don't sound humble. You know, I mean, we deal with a forgiving God. We know that God can change anybody. But it sounds like he still needs a lot of work. It sounds like he's not humble. It sounds like he's getting angry when somebody's questioning it because I guess, you know, when the first thing a person, when they hear, you killed your wife and your child, like, oh, no, you can't be switching over. You know, so I believe there's still a lot of work that needs to be done with him.
All right. Pastor
K.L.,
what do you think?
Well, I think a couple of things. I think, one, you know, like I stated before, when you're in a place where you can't move, you know, now we find God. You have more prison preachers, you know, than outside preachers. You know, not only that, let's look at it from another standpoint. When you first find God, you know, when you first get saved and turn your life over to God, you're excited. You know, you're really, really excited. You finally found someone who loves you for you. Yeah, I don't think there's a point of being humble. I think you're just excited about this thing. You know, you're finally going in the right direction. You know the mistakes that you've made. You have to deal with that every day of where you are. So it faces you every day. So you understand that you made some mistakes. But now I found somebody who loves me for me. I found somebody that I can go to and I can tell my deepest secrets. But you also got to understand that your past will always precede you. You know, so people who are not there yet in Christ, they're going to judge you of your past. Listen, when you come for a job interview, your resume is your past. If they see that you've constantly been at 12 different jobs, there's no consistency. That is your past. You might be the greatest person for the job, but your past is going to tell the story on how I believe you are in the present. So that's the issues there.
Okay. All righty. Let's go with our final story today. And that's about the rapper Kodak Black. I have never heard of him before. But have you, Pastor Gale?
No. Kodak Black, Kodak White, I didn't hear none of them.
Brother Al, you're the DJ. Have you heard of Kodak Black?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay. Well, your buddy, Kodak Black, stopped at a gas station and encountered two ministers, and they got to chatting, and they said something in that conversation prompted or helped Kodak Black to realize he needed a savior. And he gave his life to Christ right on the spot. right there in the gas station. And, you know, part of the thought that I had was, and what, you know, some people have said, is that, hey, you know, God was dealing with him all along. And it took that encounter to kind of nudge him over that line. And, you know, not taking away from anything that the that either ministers said or what was, you know, whatever the exchange was, but just that, you know, some people believe that this takes place right on the spot. This whole process takes place right on the spot. And there are others who say, hey, this has been a process. You just haven't been able to physically see it, and now it's just manifests itself. Well, there's some scripture that go in that really points to the latter. And I want to get some feedback from you gentlemen. Brother Al, we're going to start with you again.
Yes. You know, God could call you at any place. As I'm listening to the story, I remember a friend of mine who, you know, sometimes we get so, first of all, sometimes we get so busy and caught up that you know, we can't hear God. And it's not until something happens and we have to sit still that we hear. So, and like you said, I mean, from the past stories, God can change and help anybody, you know, and at this time, you know, he went through his situation. And I believe that too. I believe God always have that, you know, he got his chosen people. You know, they, you know, many are called, but few are chosen, you know, and he got called, but he wasn't hearing it till he was able to sit still. You know, that reminds me of a friend of mine. She's a big pastor now. She was in a club dancing. She used to go partying, and she's in the club with two guys dancing with her with a Corona in her hand. And the Lord called her right then and there. That woman dropped that bottle and ran out of the club. And she's a big pastor now, just putting the word out there. So, yes, it definitely can happen. Definitely.
Okay. Well, that's not the question on the table. The question on the table is, was that just, it just came out of nowhere and it happened? Or has it been a process that's been going on, you know, over time, and then that encounter helped to push him over the line where he said, you know, I've heard enough. I'm just going to give God my life. Do you think it's a one-shot deal?
Okay, I got you.
Okay, or is this just a process?
I got you.
That's
yeah, I think
on?
It was a process. I think it was a process that was going on. I think it was a process that gone on, and he finally opened his ears and listened.
Okay. Thank you. Pastor KL.
Yes, ma'am. I too have had a gas station experience with someone. But every day, you know, God is dealing with you. No matter what you're doing, every day he's dealing with you. He's giving you some types of signs that what you're doing, it's not appropriate. You know, I mean, we know when we do what we do, that is not good. And then we want to come and say, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes as the man in the gas station, you have to be tired of being sick and tired. And he got to a point where he was just sick and tired because he's heard all this stuff before. You know, when a lot of people keep on saying the same thing, and you are the common denominator, you're the one who has to change the equation. You know, so he just got to a point where, yes, Lord, I hear you. Yes, Lord, I hear you. You keep sending these folks to me. Yes, Lord, I hear you. I'm going to give my life to you. You got to get tired of being sick and tired and keep on understanding that God is trying to get your attention. And at some point, you have to say, it's me, oh, Lord, and I'm standing in the need of prayer. It's not all these other folks. It's me. I can't keep on wearing this mask because at the end of the day, I see myself for who I really am.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, men, gentlemen, for, you know, weighing in on each of these stories. I saw this as a fantastic segue into our topic today. And keys to successful Christian living. Keys to successful Christian living. And, you know, we've talked about some of these things before, but I think these things tie in with what we talked about in these four lives. So, you know, we're gonna put these things out there. We're going to, you know, get your feedback on each of these points to being successful, to being a successful Christian. And let's start with, you know, placing spiritual boundaries in your life and staying there. We've heard that in these four stories. Putting us, you know, taking a spiritual, we're not talking about just any old boundary. We're talking about spiritual boundary. Put that spiritual boundary in your life and stay right there. Who are we talking about in these four stories, Brother Al?
Yes. Take a spiritual bound. I would say of those four stories, I would say I'm gonna go in love with the guy that used to be a prostitute. You know, he accepted God and he's doing the Lord's work. And regardless of the world has not accepted him, men are saying, oh, once you go there, that's it. You never go back and this and that. And he's still walking that walk. Like, okay, just because the world not accepting me, this and that, as long as God accept me, I'm good. And he's staying there, and he's just walking with it, because I haven't heard anything of him getting mad at people or trying to go back at people. It's just, okay, that's how you feel, but I'm going to stay here. I know where God brought me from, you know, so I'm going to go with him, his story.
All right. Pastor KL, we're talking about placing those spiritual boundaries, not just a boundary, but we're going to put emphasis on that spiritual boundary in your life and just standing firm and remaining there as a key to successful Christian living. Who are we talking about in these four stories?
Well, I'm going to go with the one at the gas station because he gave in. You know, sometimes you have to be broken, you know, and only when you're broken, you know, can God truly use you. You know, I often say that some of God, I mean, some of self is some of God. You know, all of self is none of God, but none of self is all of God. So sometimes you just got to be broken and just take yourself out of the situation and say, Lord, I've tried it my way. The drugs didn't work. The women didn't work. The whatever it was, the money didn't work. I've tried it all of these ways. I thought I had a get rich scheme. I thought I had, you know, to be the best I can be. But I can only be the best I can be if you're in me. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So without you, I can do nothing. And I have to be able to understand that. So I have to be sick and tired of living the life that I've been living, because the life that I've been living have not been working. So even if you got to get my attention at the gas station, where I would have never thought somebody would have came up to me. You know, God has a way of getting your attention. He puts you in an uncomfortable place. You know, he doesn't do it at your home, because then you're at God at your home, because this is my home and you're not going to talk to me any way you want to talk to me. So he puts you in a place, in a gas station, to get your attention. Man, my God is awesome. He's awesome.
Oh, gentlemen, we're getting off to a wonderful, wonderful start in those keys to Christian living. And we're starting with that setting the boundary, that spiritual boundary, and just standing firm on that. We got some comments from our listeners, and I would love to hear it. And I know you gentlemen would love to hear them as well. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning. How's everyone doing?
Fine.
Good morning.
Fine. Thank you. Fine. Thank you. What you got for us
today? Oh, yeah.
Okay, so our first comment reads, I think the guy who was homosexual and male and transgender can definitely live a saved and changed life. I agree, we are not defined by one event in our life. If he is truly changing his life around, he can be a testament to the other inmates. I take it as an opening for them to change. Then another listener. Well, Chris Watts never admitted to killing his wife and children, even though the evidence is clear.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you. Can you speak up a little bit?
Can you hear me?
Yes, much better. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Chris Watts never admitted to killing his wife and children, even though the evidence is clear. He continues to lie to authorities. In fact, that's one of the charges he got convicted of. As a Christian, I think he should start there, confessing the truth, before he starts throwing Christian sayings all over the place. Because to me, it looks like a lie, like the many lies he got caught telling during the investigation.
All right. Thank you, listeners. You're making some really good and valid points. Thank you so very much. Thank you, Shanti. Let us know if you have more comments as we go along.
Okay.
Thank you. And fix that mic. You sound smothered. We want to hear everything you're saying over there. So we're looking forward to you all continuing to send in your comments. 347-285-7777. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. These are some serious stories. Wouldn't you say so, gentlemen? This ain't no light stories here.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
These are definitely life-changing situations. And, I looked at last night and I was like, oh, no. People just don't think. I was talking to Elder Natisha last night, and we were talking about telling our story, really telling your story, and she said, it's not a, started from the bottom, now we're here type of thing. We can't tell the beginning and the end. We got to go into that middle part we were talking about yesterday. And we are getting the middle part of these stories because, man, oh, man, there's some stories to be told about God changing lives. Let's go to our next point we're going to talk about. I like this one. Let's focus and take note in our life of what's important and what's unimportant. Ooh. Brother Al, who are we talking about here out of these four? What's important and what's not important? We got to make sure we take note of this thing here.
Yes. I would say I'm going to go with what's the guy named? Smollett.
Smollett.
Yes. I'm going to go with his story because he took the wrong thing that I guess he felt was important. His fame was more important. So he felt, I got to lie, I got to give out some money, and I got to do all of this so my fame could continue to grow. That wasn't what important. Now what happened? Now you done went, you got community service, you got part of what you wanted. You wanted to be in the news and have it, so you are in the news. But now you're in the news as a liar, as a criminal. So you got the wrong attention on what you were trying to do. So he felt that was important. And that wasn't. So now here you are at the end of every little thing. And now you want to say, oh, I'm a man of faith. And now people are looking at you even more like you're crazy. So you're just constantly putting your foot in your mouth because you felt this, your fame was more important. And that wasn't what's important. So he put his foot in his mouth big time.
All right. Nice start, Brother Al. Pastor KL, we're talking about making a note of what's important in your life and what's not important in your life. Who are we talking about here out of these four?
Well, I'm going to piggyback on like Brother Al said, because I think that sometimes, negative attention to people, they believe is better than no attention at all. So he was trying to get any kind of attention that he can get. And when he got caught in the crossfire, he wanted to say, I got faith. God's going to get me out of this. But why did you put yourself in a place where you had to get yourself in that? you knew that wasn't of God in the first place. You know, so what you have to be able to stop in the very beginning of this thing and see where the end is going to be. You know, that's not a good place to be at. You know, you should have been able to see that this wasn't going to work out in your best interest. And now that you've gotten caught up, you want to use, again, the God card. My faith is going to get me out of it. Okay. Now watch. God did have leniency on you because he only did community service. It could have been a whole lot worse. So you really need to be giving God some glory.
Absolutely, gentlemen. Absolutely.
Pastor, I'm sorry. And on top of that, you got kicked off. Now, you're trying to do all this and trying to get your fame, and you got kicked off one of the top TV shows in the country you no longer could be a part of.
Absolutely. A price to pay. You may have gotten community service, but now, how else did you pay? Absolutely, Brother Al. Very good. Very good. Here's one I love, gentlemen. It says, spend unhurried time with God. I like that one. Ooh, spend unhurried time with God. Brother Al, what are we talking about? Who are we talking about here?
Okay, I'm definitely going to go with the guy that's in prison. He ain't got nothing but time. So, I'm just saying, he ain't care. He ain't got nowhere to go. He ain't got no appointment, you know, and he's spending that time with God, you know. And he's a little rough around the edges, but we all been a little rough around the edges and still are, you know. But he has that time to study more, to read more, to learn God, to get to appreciate God. You know, so I'm going to go with him.
All righty. Pastor Kel, we're talking about the keys to successful Christian living. Successful is the key word here. And they say we should spend unhurried time with God. Which of the four are we talking about?
I'm going back to the gas station. Because if he had a relationship with God, he wouldn't have needed the guy at the gas station, because God was trying to speak to you all this time. You know, he had to corner you off at pump number 9 in order for you to realize who God was. You know, think about it. Because listen, when somebody ministers to you and says certain things to you, it's only a confirmation to what God has already spoken to you. But because you refused to hear from God, he had to send a messenger to deliver a message to deliver you from your mess. So if you had time and you wasn't just saying, now I lay me down to sleep, or God is good, God is great, and we thank him for our food. If you had a real relationship with God, you would have got out of this mess a long time ago. So stop hurrying, God. Stop just praying for 30 seconds and think that you've reached heaven. You know, stop just asking for stuff that you want, you know, and start praying for others like Job did, and that's how he got his real deliverance. Start thinking about other folks, and then maybe God will deliver you out of your own mess. So stop rushing God and spend more time with God and see what God will do with you and for you.
All right. Oh, we're talking about practicing gratitude. You know, I hear people all the time say, I said thank you. We ain't talking about what your mouth said. We're talking about what you live, how you live, practicing gratitude. Who are we talking about, Brother Al, in these four lines?
Practicing gratitude. I'm going to go back to the guy that used to be the prostitute. You know, it's like he accepted God. You know, God then changed him around and made him a better person than what he was before. And, you know, and like I said, even though, you know, from the story we listened to, even though people are feeling this world, the world is not accepting him,
it's like, okay, you know, as long as my Lord and Savior accept me, I'm good. And he's grateful for that. You know, he's very grateful that, wow, you know, I used to do this, but look at me now. Like, man, the Lord then took my life and just turned it all the way around. You know, so I'm going to go with him.
All right, all right. Pastor KL, we're talking about practicing gratitude, not just speaking it, but actually living it. Who are we talking about here?
Well, I'm going to go with all four. And I say that because you gotta remember and understand that God can use anybody he decides to use. And if he decides to use you, you should be appreciative of it. If he just decided to wake you up this morning without the alarm clock, you should be grateful. You know, a lot of us just take it for granted that stuff is supposed to happen because I am great, because I am a musician, because I am a pastor, because I am this, I am that. But God chooses who he wants to use. And we should be grateful every day that he decides to wake me up. I am grateful every day that he allows me to get on this broadcast and speak to the people, because God does not have to use me. He did not have to put it on Pastor Steph's heart to call me. So I'm grateful. So everybody in these different situations should just be grateful that in spite of what it was, that you didn't go to jail for life, that they didn't kill you, that the drugs didn't take you out. You know, we should just be grateful that God has chosen to give us yet another chance when we didn't even deserve it.
All right, all right. I'm going to, we may have a time, but let's go here, because we're going to continue this conversation next week, God spares. There's a lot of points, and we just don't have time to get to them today, but definitely we want to get through everything, and that seems to be the thing these days. We just got so much to talk about in these topics that we need two sessions. We're going to go with giving to God and others. Giving to God and others. Who are we talking about here, Pastor? Not Pastor KL. Brother Al, I'm sorry.
Giving to others. Let's see here.
Giving to God and others.
Giving to God and others. I'm going to say, I'm going to go with the guy that's in prison, and also the gas station one. Like I said, the guy in prison, he has none but time. You know, we laughed about it, but it's true. So he gets to spend a lot of time and talk to others and tell them about the goodness and the greatness of God. I'm going to go with the guy at the gas station because, again, the person who came to him is given to God and given to somebody else, where this man was able to accept God in his life because of this man or this minister came to him. So this minister, whoever came to him, is given to God and given to this person. So I'm going to go with those two.
All right, all right, all right. Nice points, Brother Al, nice points. Pastor KL, what we're talking about here, giving to God
and others. I'm going to go another way. I'm going to go another way. I'm going to go with the prostitute. And only because, yes, you know, we laugh about the guy in prison has nothing but time. But sometimes when you have nothing but time, then, yeah, I'll talk to God. Because I ain't got nothing else to do. So I'll talk to God. But what would happen if they released you tomorrow? What would happen if God blessed you today and say, okay, you ain't got to do this time no more, and I'll let you out? Will you still serve me? Now, the guy who was a prostitute, he lives with a testimony, you know what I'm saying? And they were overcome by their testimonies and by the blood of the Lamb. So now I've been through something, and I'm yet outside, and I'm able to tell my story to some people who are going through some of the same things that I'm going through. And God, because you delivered me, I can't do nothing else but serve you. And the way I serve you is I'm going to tell somebody about the goodness of you. I'm going to speak it on the mountaintop. And they may not like me, but I still have a testimony. My life will show where I've come from, what I've come out of. You know, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust them. Lord, I don't have no other choice but to trust you because I know what you've done for me. I know where I was. I know what I've been through. And I know where I could be. But there, but for the grace of God, you know, because of you, you delivered me out of this thing. You healed me from my hurt. Yes, I've got to serve you. And I've got to tell other folks about a man who's coming to town.
Oh, excelente. Excelente, gentlemen. Oh, I have so enjoyed listening to you today. You have definitely sent us into a fantastic thinking weekend. And I'm going to stop a little earlier because we're going to do an edition of Pray for Them today. So,
amen.
We're going to put a pin right there. Thank you so much, gentlemen. I pray that you have a blessed weekend. We're coming back to this next week, God spares. So we're going to have more keys to successful Christian living next week.
And you have a great weekend, Pastor Kel, my brother. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, Brother Al. You too. All right. Like I said, we're going to do a special edition today of Pray for Them. So we're going to start a little earlier than we normally do because we have four lives that I don't care how old the stories are, how new the stories are, we need to lift these lives before the Lord. So let's hold hands and hold hearts together. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and we're saying thank you. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for helping us keep you on our mind. Thank you for helping us articulate what we need to deliver to your people. You know, sometimes you give us stuff and we're kind of stirred and we don't know what to say, but God, we give you thanks because so eloquently it was given today. And the only way we can get there is to surrender to you, decrease so that you may increase. God, we're going to take today and we're going to lift these four men before you, dear Heavenly Father. We're going to lift Jussie Smollett before you, dear Heavenly Father, a man who says, I am a man of faith, and yet was caught doing some, you know, things that were just harmful to some people, smacked others in the face, made fun of others, made little of real circumstances, lied, and some question, how can you be a man of faith if this is what this calculated behavior you're doing? So, Lord, we're asking you, the same way his life spilled out, or this incident spilled out before the world, God, we ask that faithful living that he is claiming and that he is declaring is lived out before all men so that Jesus can be seen in him right here, right now, dear God. That somebody's attention was caught in what he did and him saying, I am a man of faith. And they went back and looked in the mirror and said, well, wait a minute, I got to think about some of the stuff that I'm doing. Can I really declare that I am a man of God if this is what I'm doing? So if, for no other purpose but to send others back to you to ask for you to straighten us up, for you to, you know, to show us if we're really who you want us to be, we say thank you. Because your word says rejoice in all things. And we can see the good that can come out of this. Even if his career has nosedived, even if he never does another film project or television show, sing another song, let his life now focus on you. Let him be used for your purposes. Sometimes we've got to give it all up in order for you to do what needs to be done in our life. God, we're going to lift up that Colorado man who strangled his wife and smothered his two daughters, God, and who says, you know, nobody knows what happened before. Nobody knows what happens after. We don't need to know. We've heard all we need to hear. We've heard that you need Jesus. We hear that you committed a crime against your family, and you're locked up for life. And you say you found God. All right. So now draw others to Christ. Get yourself together. Make sure you go to God humbly on a regular basis. Make sure you're looking at this thing in the right manner. Make sure that you are meek. Make sure you're humble. And you will be able to live a life accordingly, regardless of what your past was. We can't expect people to erase what we've done, because that's one of the reasons why God allows us to be exposed, so that he can get the glory out of turning us around. Because if people don't know what we've done, then how can we accredit God to anything? So we thank you, God, for just spilling this out before us and letting us know that even a hardened criminal who could take the lives of his family, who's spending his life in prison, can still be used by you. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we're lifting up the man, the young man who was living his life as a prostitute, a drug addict, just an abominable behavior before you. But you have shown yet again that Jesus' blood was shed for this particular occasion. That he said he started at the age of 12 with drugs and living this lifestyle as a woman who was dressing in women's clothing. But you turned that all around. And although he lost family and friends, he understands that he sees you more and more in this. He says, God is blossoming. He's giving you the credit, God. He's allowing us to know that even when you lose those who are supposedly the closest to you, that God shines more. And maybe that's who should be shining. And maybe you had to remove or allow those people to walk so that he could see you more and more. You know, when we live these lives and we're craving this love and craving attention, we forget about you. But we see you. We see how you're moving. And we pray, God, that he would not care. That he would care less and less and less each and every moment of the day of what women say, that they don't want to be bothered, and men say he can't change. But let him walk firmly right before you, standing firmly on your foundation. That all it took was two visits to a church to hear your word. But the seed was planted. So that when he was confined to one area, to one place, in the same seat, you called back to his remembrance and it sent him to the YouTube. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, because his testimony lets other people know that regardless of the type of life you live, regardless of what's going on and who loves you, who accepts you, and who doesn't, that you're always right there. That once that seed gets planted, that others will come through and water it. So thank you, God, for the light that he is shining today. Lord, we're going to lift up Kodak Black. Some of us have never heard of this person before, but we've heard this story. We've heard the story that, as Pastor K.L. said, Jesus says, at pump number nine. Little did we know that when we gave the gas station attendant the money, or when we put the credit card, that there was going to be more than gas that was being withdrawn. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. How many of us have had that same testimony? Not just that one, but so many others. So many other testimonies that say, all I thought I was going to get was, all I left the house to do was, all I picked up the phone to say was, all I went to sleep thinking was, amen, amen, amen. Thank you for the ministers who didn't think it was too much to have that conversation, who seized the moment and the opportunity to speak to this gentleman, who didn't care about his fame, his fortune, and was so starstruck that they forgot about you. Oh, but they remembered that regardless of who you are, you need a man named Jesus in your life. Thank you, God. Then no matter what fame and fortune we have, we still need a man named Jesus. Thank you, God. And we ask you to bless those two lives abundantly, because that just helps us understand that we always need to be on a mission. That when we get up out of our bed, we need to be prayed to be used by you. And that we need to stand ready to be used at any given moment. Whether it's at the checkout stand, the produce department, buying sanitary napkins, it don't matter what we're doing, what we need to have going on that day, what we thought we were going to be saying, what we thought we were going to be doing. God, no matter how small, no matter how large, no matter how insignificant, no matter how important we may think it is, that you shine each and every day. And we need to just listen. As the gentleman said, we need to just listen for you, because you're always knocking on the door. Thank you, Father. Thank you for remembering us when we forgot about who you were. Thank you, God, for remembering us when we didn't want you. Thank you, God, for remembering us when we cursed you. Thank you, God, for remembering who we were when we were on our merry little way with our back turned to you. When we've told other people we didn't need you. When some of us didn't even believe in you. Thank you. Thank you for our gentlemen today. Thank you for giving them a mind for you. Thank you for giving them the words to give to our listeners. Thank you for the words they gave to one another. Thank you for the words that they shared with me. Thank you for putting a hallelujah in their spirit, that they, regardless of what they could have been doing, that they opted to be used by you today. Thank you, Father. And God, I pray that you give them the increase that they need to move forward, not just in their personal lives, but in the on the platform that they need when they speak for you, the platform they stand on when they're talking about you, that they would put you first and they would let your words come before their own words, when they would let your thoughts come before their thoughts, and when they would tap into you and remember, it's not about me. God is just using me. So it's okay if I say a joke. It's okay if I talk about this. But at the end of the day, it's about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that every time I open up my mouth on this broadcast, somebody's going to hear me. Somebody's going to hear me at 7 a.m. Somebody's going to hear me at 11 a.m. Someone's going to hear me at 11 p.m. And they need to know that there is a God that can take them and redeem them from anything, regardless of what they've done, regardless of what they're doing right now. Jesus saves. Thank you, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for giving us this opportunity and another opportunity to get it right. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Always an opportunity to pray for them. What a morning. What a week. Have you been with us all week? Have you heard, as they say, what God's been putting down on his due time with Pastor Steph, how he's been giving and giving and giving and giving and giving? He hasn't stopped giving. He started at the beginning of the week, and he's been giving all through the week. That there have been some life-changing things that have taken place on this broadcast all week long, from Monday up until now. We started off the week on a high note, and we're ending on a high note. Keys to successful Christian living has been the challenge all week. All week long, it's been the challenge. What are we going to do with the things that the Lord says? That word of God is there for us all the time at any given moment of the day. The word of God is there. The keys to successful living, successful Christian living, is right in the word of God. We ain't got to go far. We ain't got to go hunting. What the men gave you was God. They didn't step away from that. You know, there's something to be said for keys to successful living and keys to successful Christian living. Because without the Christian in that, you know, we think that we're living. You know, I'm sure Kodak Black thought he was living. Jussie Smollett thought he was living. You know, they had fame. They had money. They thought they were living. But God has something else to say about what true living is about. He took successful Christian living. The key word is being Christian. If you ain't got Christ in it, there really is no success. Ooh. I don't care how many people hear you. I don't care how many people see you. Look at the two we're talking about. Look at the Kodak Black and look at all the money he's giving away. His benevolence doesn't matter if it's not backed up with Christ. Because anybody can give money, but can you give God? Our last point was give to God and others. So when he was giving away the money, oh, it was doing some good. But is it ultimately giving of God? Because if you just give the money, yes, it comes from God and you are giving God to a certain degree. However, God needs that to be supported with something. God needs that to precede what you're giving in money. Tell him about me. Tell him about me. Yeah, sometimes we get the money, you know, and we have the money and we give it to, you know, the people and that gets their attention. And sometimes we have to use that as attention getters. However, sometimes we get that a little twisted. And because we're giving money, we start looking at ourselves. We start looking at, we start thinking we're bigger. We forget the source of the giving. And now God is saying, hey, I need you to put me in everything you do. So we have Jussie Smollett, who was doing well on his TV show and his movies. But his life was nothing, because whatever he was accused of doing did not include God. Only what you do for Christ will last, and that's something that we need to really, really think about today. Boy, we've been challenged all week. God has been an awesome God all week long. Go back and listen and gather up all the little gems you may have missed. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off for the weekend, and I want to thank my brothers, Pastor KL and Brother Al, for helping us focus on the keys to successful Christian living. And I want to thank you for your comments and participating. Couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much. Oh, please give Jesus your life right now. And if you have, give it to him again. our lady has not promised to us. Until Monday, God spares our life where we will be shaking the Monday morning blues one more time. I love you. Have a blessed weekend.